Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone. We're going to talk about prayer this afternoon together. Can you believe that we who are Christians can actually speak directly to God, the creator of everything, the true and living God, who has the power to create heaven and earth with just His Word? We can talk directly to Him. He who is awesome, that at His very presence, earth will quake. There will be smoke. And He never grows weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. It's hard to believe that we can speak to Almighty God, but that's what prayer is. Prayer is an incredible blessing for the child of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 is where we will start. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we looked at this morning the subject of an eternal damnation apart from God. So He hears and He opens His ears to the prayers of those that are righteous, but He's against those who do evil. So when I pray, I'm offering unto God adoration, which Brother Easter went through a lot of different parts of a prayer, but there's adoration. There is thanksgiving that is often expressed in our prayers. There is petitions. There are things that when we pray to God, we may ask for something of God. And, of course, the Scriptures talk about not asking amiss. We can ask things that are amiss or things that are not acceptable by God, and He's not going to grant that type of request. But we can petition God, and we can actually go to God, and we can confess to our Heavenly Father our sins. We can go to God, and we can speak to Him. So when I pray, though I physically cannot see Him, and just think about the fact that we prayed together, we bowed our heads, and someone might look at that and think, well, that seems ridiculous because of somebody that doesn't believe. They think that these people are sitting here praying to and acknowledging someone that they can't even see, they can't hear audibly. You know, that's a little bit strange, I think, to some, but to the believer, we acknowledge that there is one greater than us, and that one who is greater is God, and we depend on Him. And so when we pray and we ask and we say thank you for our food, and we were talking about in the high school class that when we pray for our daily food, which Jesus teaches us to do, you know, basically we recognize that, yeah, there's been a lot of things that have been done by the farmer that has brought it to the grocery store, that I walk in and get it, and I worked hard, and I took my money. But, you know, in reality, you still have to back it way up to how do you even grow food? And who created the animals that we all enjoy our bacon so very much? And if you say, ooh, I don't like bacon, you're just strange. I don't know about that. There's not too many people that fit into that category. But again, we can speak to God. We can speak directly to our Father in heaven. Look at John chapter 17. This is Jesus who is praying to His Father. And notice the first three verses with me of John chapter 17. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they may know you. He asks that, again, that we may know you, the true and living God, in Jesus Christ who was sent. And so his prayer to his Father is that we would know God. We would have this relationship with God. So what I want to do over the next few minutes is I want to look at some prayers. that are found in the Bible, and we want to see some things that we can learn from each prayer. Now, we're not going to talk about so much the who do I pray to in Jesus' name, things that I can pray as far as prayers of thanksgiving and things of that nature. I want us to look at some of the prayers that are recorded in Scripture and see what we can learn. Because when you stop and think about just that first point, and that is being able to speak to the Creator of all things in prayer, to have that kind of connection with Him. And we'll see some of the things that happens when a person is, in fact, praying to God. Let's start over in 1 Chronicles, and I think most of you have turned or have started turning. But over in 1 Chronicles, we have a man by the name of Jabez. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. It says, the sons of Judah were... So we're talking about, here is a genealogy of the sons of Judah. And of course, we know Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah. But in this particular passage, we just find this son had that son. And so we see the descendants of Judah, Judah being one of Jacob's 12 sons. Now look down at verse 9. We'll start in 8. And it, to get you an idea of how it's been going, it's like the genealogy of Christ. It says, and Koaz begat Anub, Zobiah, and the families of, I should have not done this, Aharel, the son of Haram. Okay? And then all of a sudden it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So right in the middle of this, all of a sudden you learn about this character, Jabez, and in the, these names of the descendants of Judah. And it just all of a sudden just puts the brakes on. And it says, well, let me tell you about this man. So, man, what do we learn? Well, the name Jabez means sorrowful. Okay, so his name has a meaning of sorrowful. You may have a footnote. And it says that he is an honorable man. And basically it's saying he's more honorable, as it says, than his brothers. So in other words, as far as his honor, his integrity, he's head and shoulders above the rest of his kin, we might say. And so he has a request. And look at his request. He says to God, he says, will you enlarge my territory? And you might stop right there and think, well, he's asking for riches. He's asking that he might get a lot of land. But that's not where the text stops, does it? Because what it says is he understood the direct correlation between his blessings and God. Let me read 10 again. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now here, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So here we have his request, but he also doesn't just ask for an increase of his territory. He says, your hand would be with me. So who's he asking, and why is he asking for his territory? Well, he has God in mind. That's the key. He's not asking this to selfishly use these things, spend these things. Does God respond to that kind of prayer where we want to just consume all of our, you know, gimme, gimme, and God's going to give us and let us do this, and then No, he says that you might help me. And not only that, but he also helped ask that God would help keep him from evil. Now, let me ask you a question. Would that please God in a request like that? So basically, enlarge my territories. He asks God to be with him and to keep him from evil. And he understood that sin, notice what he said, and keep me from evil. Why? That I may not cause pain. Well, that's what sin does. And actually, there is a connection there. Again, and the reason I said his name means sorrowful is, you know, it's like a kid, his name is... means sorrowful, and he's doesn't want to live up to his name. He doesn't want to cause pain. He doesn't want to be engaged in evil. And here is what is so important. God heard his prayer. God heard his request, it says, and he granted it unto him. And then search Jabez. Just see how much he comes up. But here is a man that we learned something about. How wonderful. What a blessing a prayer is. That he could speak directly to God. God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. And that is important. Let's look at the prayer of Jonah. Here we know the story of Jonah. Jonah is told by God to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. The Ninevites are behaving wickedly. And so God decides, I want a prophet to go over to Nineveh. I want him to speak to him. But what did Jonah do? Jonah gets in a boat and goes in the opposite direction. A great distance he tries to go away from going. He goes, Nineveh is to the east. He starts and gets in a boat and goes as far west, headed for Tarshish. And we know that the storm rises on the boat, and they're trying to keep the boat from sinking. And finally they figure out that it's, Jonah says, well, it is because of me. And he tells them, well, you're going to have to throw me over the side, and then it'll quit. And they tried hard to not have to do that, and finally it came right down to they had to throw him over. But you remember what God did. He created a great fish that swallowed him. And here's what we have in his prayer beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Do you think the being in a fish's belly would stop God from being able to hear his prayer? Just think about that. That's incredible in and of itself. There isn't a cell phone. You know what I'm saying? There is no old tin can line. There's no landline. I mean, how do you even do this? Well, the only way you can do that is if you're God. You can hear a man in the belly of a great fish in the depths of the ocean. Here's what he said. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What an incredible story. Would you say that Jonah's afflictions were self-inflicted? I think that we would say, yeah, he caused all that problem when he didn't do what God told him to do. Thought he could hide. He couldn't hide. But even though Jonah had been so foolish, the Lord, verse 2, answered him. When he cried out, that voice, it says, it went all the way to his temple, the dwelling place of God. Well, what do we learn? Well, we learn that down and down and down, Jonah sank. But when he remembered the Lord, what happened? Up, up, up went his prayer. You know, that's the way a lot of people behave. I remember selling cookies. I had a boy on the truck that I probably have told you this, got girl pregnant. Never had prayed, but he didn't know what to do. Starts hitting his knees, trying to figure that out. And that's the way a lot of people are. They reach a bottom, and they don't know what to do. And Jonah knew exactly what to do, and he prayed. And he said, I'm going to make my vow, and I'm going to give thanksgiving to God, and I'm going to do what I am supposed to do. So what is happening to us in our life, you know, you think about prayer, you think, well, it might be a direct result of my own foolish sins, my own defiance of the will of God. But does God hear prayers at those times when we cry out to the Lord? you know, Jonah started praying and the Lord heard him. Do you think God hears the prayer of a penitent sinner? Well, of course He does. And notice in verse 9, He says, salvation is of the Lord. That's an incredible thought. Fish? I'm talking to you. Spit that man back out on the land. And then He spits him out on the land. Salvation is of the Lord. Learn a few things from the prayer of Jonah. I love the prayer of Hannah. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now you'll recall that Hannah wanted a child. And she's not able to have a child. And her husband's other wife seems to be tormenting her about that because she's able to have children and just makes Hannah miserable. And so she goes to the temple in her sorrow, beginning in verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul. And what did she do when she was in bitterness of soul? She started cursing God. She started getting mad at God. No, she prayed to God. She prayed to the Lord and she wept in anguish. Have you ever prayed to God in tears? I know you have. If you're praying to God, I know you have. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction. Now listen, there isn't a telephone conversation going on here. She's speaking from her heart. Do you understand that? From her thoughts. She with her thoughts is counting on the Creator of all things, whom she cannot see, I can't see, but yet He is hearing her. She says, if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then what? I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Isn't that something? If you'll give me a child, I'll give him right back to you. Don't you know those trips to the temple to give him another handmade coat or clothes was so special to her? Samuel goes on to be a great prophet of God, a great servant, because of this mother and her anguish and her devotion to God. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, he's the priest, watched her mouth. So he sees her over here. He sees her over here. And what does he think? He says, Eli watched her mouth, verse 13. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli, he thought she's come to the temple drunk. See, he thinks she's drunk. And he said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. She says, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad, and she ended up having a child. An interesting thing there is you don't have to make an audible noise to pray. You can merely move your lips because you're speaking from your heart. She was praying. And what a wonderful prayer she was praying to Almighty God, who found favor in her and answered her prayer. You also have, if you turn over to the next chapter, we're not going to look at it, but in chapter 2, I had to cut off to be able to move some more, but you have a title header there, probably says Hannah's Prayer. So you might read that. And it's a prayer of exaltation of God and how happy she is. I want you to look over with me at the prayer of Moses. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now here's a man that had a very, very perhaps unique and very special relationship with God, as he would go up into the mountain and he would commune with God and God would give him the law and things of that nature. But look at verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the star of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Do you understand what just happened there? Now again, I said this is unique. You've got God speaking with Moses, but you have a human being speaking to God. We would call that a prayer, perhaps. And God, the King James uses the word repent. And I remember the first time when I was much younger and I hit that word and I thought, relent, I think, is probably a better idea. When we think of repent, we think he did something wrong. But repentance also means what? You changed your mind. So what I want you to understand in this is, do you understand that when Moses spoke to God, God changed his mind? And how wonderful it is to know that God's mind can be changed. But here's the thing I want you to understand. He can change his mind, and in doing so, he doesn't compromise his deity. You see, God can change his mind. And we have an avenue to be able to petition and pray to God, and he changes mind. And not in any way become less God. But we need to understand the power of prayer to change the mind of God. Let me just illustrate it this way. Have your children ever changed your mind as a father? Chad, have they ever changed your mind? You said no. You said we're not going to do that. And then they changed your mind. They gave you some good reasons. I'm not talking about this. They whine and whine and whine, and then we throw a Barbie at her. Yeah, that was to you, Emily. Back in the day. Right? That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, the things that Moses said. Sometimes you think, wow, he's telling God the way, reminding him of all these things. It's incredible. Moses knew exactly the promises of God, and he knew God was going to fulfill those promises. And God changed his mind. Instead of destroying all the people and starting over with Moses, he changed his mind. You recall that Abraham spoke to God about Sodom 50, 40, 30, 20. What if there's 10? And 10 could not be found. So he destroyed the city. But God could be spoken to. And God did say, okay, that's fine, all right. So we need to understand that when we pray to God, we need to have a faith and an understanding that our request just might change his mind about what he intends to do. But a loving father will do that, won't he, when he sees the heart of a child? When he knows our heart, when he knows the anguish maybe that we feel like Hannah. How about the prayer of Hezekiah? This makes the same point, but we'll back up to a little bit earlier. We've got a couple of passages here. King Hezekiah in chapter 19 of 2 Kings, beginning in verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. This is when Sennacherib and the Syrian army has come. And they're outside of the city. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone are all of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. What do you think God did to that prayer? Do you know that history tells us that Sennacherib and the king of Assyria, all of a sudden there's just an abrupt, they were outside besieging the city, and then history says for some reason or another, they didn't take Jerusalem. The Bible tells us why. You know, as this unfolds, this is when Hezekiah, they're in the city and they're shut up, they're like caged birds, and you've got Elisha and his servant, and they are able to see the host of God's army all around. And the Assyrians aren't able to take Jerusalem. Hezekiah prayed and said, Don't let him do this. They've gone into all of these nations, they've destroyed their gods, but you are the true and living God. And God heard that prayer. Now flip over and look at chapter 20. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you should go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Well, there's another prayer. God answered the prayer of a sick man. Does he answer every prayer for the sick? Does he give them extra time? I don't know. But God heard that prayer. But I want you to think about something with me. What if you get sick? Let's say you're 40 years old and you get sick. And you pray to get better. And then when you're 50, you get sick. And you pray again that you'll get better. And you get better. And you pray again at 60. And you get better. Etc., etc., etc. How do we determine that? My point is, what if we were to die as a baby, but our parents prayed to God? Well, let me back up and finish the first thought. Was God adding years? We always have to understand that it's appointed unto man once to die. So, we're not going to live forever. At what point did God answer our prayer? Was it at 40, 50, 60? Was it just the course of things? So, I just want us to understand that God doesn't always answer a prayer like he did to Hezekiah. And we certainly don't have a voice come down saying, I'm through a prophet, saying you're going to get another 15 years. I've never left the hospital and I get a message from the Lord that says, go back up and tell them they're going to be okay and you got another 20 years. It just doesn't happen. But I want you to think about, as we kind of add to that, this next point is, To factor into this kind of a picture that I painted there, what if you, when you were a baby, you were close to death and your parents prayed and God answered that prayer? And you lived 40 years and then you died. But at 40, you're thinking, why didn't he hear my prayer? But he heard the prayer of your parents. And you didn't die as a baby. And he gave you 40 years. You see what I'm saying? I don't know how God works. That's in a realm that we just don't have answers. But what I do know is that when we get sick, what do? We pray. And some people get better and some don't. We don't know what God knows. But what we do when we're sick is we pray. And we pray and we continue to pray throughout our long or even short life. Now, how God answers prayers and when He answers prayers, I don't know. But He did answer Hezekiah's prayer. But Hezekiah also, if you read that, he laid out all the righteous things he had done on behalf of God as a king. So I'm a rotten person? And God's going to give me another 15 years? I don't know the answer to that. The heart needs to be right is another thing to consider. How about the prayer of David? This goes to our Psalm 3. You know, can you imagine the thoughts of those against you are such that they believe even God can't help you? Even your God isn't going to help you. But God in David's thought, verse 3, is a shield for him. A shield. Protects him. Keeps the harm from happening unto him. David was able to sleep knowing God was protecting him in verse 5. He knew God was with him. He was not afraid even when there was 10,000 of people who set themselves against him. Verse 6. In verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. You see that again? You see, you can gain comfort in a prayer like this, knowing that things may be against us, but we've got Almighty God who's listening and answering and engaged and involved in our life. And we need to be thankful. I was talking to someone and they were talking about providence, and providence is a hard thing to understand, but my comment was, and this is the best I can understand it, providence is something that we often do not see in the moment. But what we do is we look back and see that God has been there all along. And so what do we know in the present? I know He's here now. And I look back and know He's been there and I know He's going to be. And so when I get another 5 years out and I look back, I'll go, yep, He was there all along. He's been a part of my life. In my challenges, in my afflictions, in my cryings, in my when I open up my heart and I pray to the God who has created everything. Also, we have David's prayer in Psalm 51. When you sin, what about when you sin? Can you benefit from a prayer like David's in Psalm 51? The answer to that we know is yes. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, verse 1. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. You can learn a lot from a prayer like that when we have sinned. Public sin is to be confessed. Private sin or sins that no one knows about are to be confessed, because God knows whether anybody else knows. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, go into your room or your closet and you pray to God. And he hears you. And he knows when the heart has changed, and he knows when to forgive. And God wants us to succeed. And we'll close by looking at a prayer of Jesus in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 39, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter in temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed. And here's what he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose from prayer and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Even Jesus, in deep agony, what did he do? He prayed to his Father. And did you catch that? Angels came and strengthened him. Jesus, the Son of God, and his Father, who loved him dearly. We know that Jesus communicated with his Father in prayer so often because we read about it in Scriptures. He'd go off, he'd spend all night in prayer. In fact, we read where he made decisions, major decisions. He was going to choose his apostles, and he prayed all night. When he was tempted by the devil, he was in the wilderness, fasting and praying. When he instituted his memorial supper, what did he do? He prayed. When he was about to leave his disciples behind in death, what did he do? He prayed to his Father, John 17. And while he died on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He also said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Those are words addressed to somebody, and that somebody is God. What a wonderful blessing it is to communicate with the God of the universe, our Father in heaven. I leave you with one last verse in Psalm 66, verse 17 to 20. I cried to him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I hope that's been helpful in some way. If you're here tonight, one of the passages we read is prayer is hindered by sin, and we need to take care of that sin problem. And we have a gospel call. That gospel call is to confess your belief in Christ, turn from your sin, and wash your sins away. The Lord will add you to His church. You can do that tonight. You can obey the gospel. Things are ready. The water is heated, so it should be warm. All things are ready. If you're a child of God, things are amiss. Can we help you in any way also? As together we stand and sing.